Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SBI Life Insurance Company Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing the star key followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Jhingran, Managing Director and CEO, SBI Life, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all for the results update call of SBI Life Insurance for the year ended March 31, 2026. We appreciate and thank you for your valuable time and efforts in analyzing the results and participating in the earnings call. Updates on our financial results are available on our website as well as on the websites of both the stock exchanges. Along with me, Mr. Sangramjit Sarangi, President and CFO, Shri Santosh Chacko, President, Business Strategy, Shri Subhendu Bal, President and Chief Risk Officer, Shri Prithesh Chaubey, President and Appointed Actuary, and Ms. Smita Verma, Senior Vice President, Finance and Investor Relations, are present here. SBI Life delivered a strong performance during the year, demonstrating resilience in a dynamic operating environment. This was supported by a balanced approach to both product and distribution mix. The company maintained an optimal blend of protection and savings products aligned with the evolving customer needs, while leveraging a well-diversified multi-channel distribution strategy spanning bancassurance, agency, and digital platforms. This enabled consistent and broad-based growth across segments. The year marked a significant phase for the life insurance industry, driven by key regulatory developments, including GST exemptions, measures supporting long-term sectoral growth, and the regulator's announcement on transition to the Indian Accounting Standards framework aimed at enhancing transparency and quality of financial information. The company has adopted a phased and well-governed approach to Ind AS transition and proposes to seek regulatory forbearance for an adoption from April 1, 2027, with comprehensive preparatory measures already initiated. Looking ahead, the company remains confident in the long-term growth potential of the life insurance sector in India and its ability to navigate the evolving landscape with continued focus on profitable and sustainable growth. Now, let me give you some key highlights for the year ended 31st March 2026. New business premium stands at rupees 425.5 billion with a growth of 20% and private market share of 21.4%. Individual rated new business premium stands at rupees 219 billion with a growth of 13% and private market share of 22.9%. Gross written premium stands at rupees 1,012.9 billion with a growth of 19%. Profit after tax for the current year grew by 2%, standing at rupees 24.7 billion as compared to the previous year. Value of new business stands at rupees 66.7 billion with a growth of 12%. VONB margin stands at 27.5% for the year ended March 31, 2026. Indian embedded value for the company as on March 31, 2026, stands at rupees 807.9 billion. Our assets under management stands at rupees 4.9 trillion with a growth of 9% over last year. Solvency ratio of 1.90 as against the regulatory requirement of 1.50. We will now update you on each of the key parameters in detail. Let me start with the premium. Individual rated premium stands at rupees 219 billion with a year-on-year growth of 13%, while retaining our leadership position with a 22.9% private market share and 16.5% total market share. It grew by 12.9% 3-year CAGR, outperforming the industry average of 8.5%. Total new business premium is rupees 425.5 billion with private market share standing at 21.4% and total market share standing at 9.3%. Group new business premium stands at rupees 127.7 billion with a contribution of 30% in new business premium and year-on-year growth of 39%. Renewal premium grew by 19% to rupees 587.3 billion, which accounts for 58% of the gross written premium. To sum up, gross written premium stands at rupees 1012.9 billion with a growth of 19% over corresponding previous year. Annualized premium equivalent APE stands at rupees 242.7 billion, registering a growth of 13%. Out of this, individual APE stands at rupees 221.1 billion with a growth of 13%. During the year, a total of 22.2 lakh new policies were sold covering 22.7 million lives. The growth in sum assured reflects strong consumer confidence and increasing awareness of financial protection. Individual and group new business sum assured grew by 61% and 34% respectively year on year, while rider sum assured continued to expand, now accounting for 31% of individual sum assured. The company continues to advance its product diversification strategy through focused and well-sequenced initiatives. During the year, product launches were aligned to key customer needs across child plans, protection solution, and the non-par guaranteed segment, resulting in encouraging traction. For the year ended March 2026, guaranteed non-par savings have garnered business of rupees 42.7 billion with a contribution of 19% on individual APE basis. ULIP stands at rupees 144.2 billion contributing 65% vis-a-vis 70% last year. Protection business contributes 9% of APE and stands at rupees 22.4 billion. We continue to maintain a strong focus on protection business, which remains a key pillar of our growth strategy. The protection segment recorded a year-on-year growth of 10% on APE basis. Individual protection APE is at rupees 10.3 billion with a growth of 24% as compared to the previous year ended March 2025. It is noteworthy that the pure protection category saw a strong growth of 122% on an individual APE basis, reflecting rising awareness and demand for comprehensive financial protection, while the individual sum assured in the protection segment grew by 62%. Group protection APE stands at rupees 12.1 billion. Credit life APE has grown by 14% and stands at rupees 2.9 billion. Individual APE for participating products stands at rupees 17.3 billion with an exceptional growth of 133% YOY. Also, par segment sum assured has shown a strong growth of 166%. Retirement plans assist customers in building a substantial corpus of funds to maintain the desired lifestyle and manage expenses in their golden years. Total annuity and pension new business underwritten by the company is rupees 86.5 billion. Moving to update on our distribution partners, with strength of more than 59,000 CIFs, The bancassurance business of SBI and RRBs contributes 60% of the total APE business. On an individual APE basis, it stands at Rs. 141.2 billion, reflecting growth of 11%. SBI branch productivity on individual APE stands at Rs. 6.0 million for the year, registering a growth of 10%. As on 31st March 2026, agency individual APE stood at Rs. 68.6 billion, growing 15%, with agent productivity at Rs. 2.6 lakhs. The channel witnessed a shift in product mix. Non-ULIP share increased from 34% to 39% for FY26, supported by robust 76% growth in agency individual sum assured. The company added more than 1,20,000 agents on a gross basis. We opened 120 new branches this year. This expansion is aligned with our vision to create infrastructure that supports the long-term development of our agency channel. The other channels, direct, corporate agents, other bank brokers, online and web aggregators grew by 22% and contribute 11% of total APE. Banks other than SBI Group are also growing at 22% on total APE basis. We are investing in building our online business channel. For the current year, this channel has grown by 47% on APE basis. Moving to updates on profitability, our financial performance reflects the impact of GST and the revised labor law. Taking these factors into account, the company's profit after tax for the year ended 31st March 2026 stands at Rs. 24.7 billion. Excluding this impact, profit after tax for the year ended 31st March 2026 would have stood at Rs. 31.2 billion with a growth of 29%. Our solvency ratio remains strong at 1.90 as against regulatory requirement of 1.50. Value of new business stands at Rs. 66.7 billion, reflecting 12% growth driven by both volume growth and favorable shift in product mix. Despite the impact of GST, we have sustained a healthy margin of 27.5% for the year ended 31st March 2026. Excluding GST impact, VONB would have been Rs. 70.3 billion, representing 18% growth with a VONB margin of 29%, an improvement of 150 basis points. Embedded value for the company as on March 31, 2026 stands at Rs. 807.9 billion with a growth of 15% over previous year. Excluding the one-time impact, EV stands at Rs. 813.6 billion with a growth of 16%. Return on embedded value stands at 19.7% with embedded value operating profit standing at Rs. 138.6 billion. Coming to operational efficiencies, our OPEX ratio stands at 6.1% and total cost ratio stands at 10.6% for the year ended March 31, 2026 as compared to 5.3% and 9.7% respectively for the year ended March 31, 2025. With respect to persistency of individual regular premium, 13th and 49th month persistency stand at 87.9 and 69.1%, showing an improvement of 53 and 107 basis points respectively. As mentioned in my opening remarks, asset under management stand at Rs. 4.9 trillion as at March 31st, having growth at 9%. Death claim settlement ratio stands at 99.4% for the year ended March 31, 2026. Our mis-selling ratio stands at 0.02%, which is one of the lowest in the private industry, and this is achieved through our consistent approach adopted at the company to ensure right selling to the customers. Digitalization is transforming the life insurance industry, enabling us to deliver enhanced services and a more seamless experience to our customers. As we embrace the digital transformation, we remain committed to innovation and excellence, ensuring that we stay ahead in an increasingly competitive landscape. The company continues efficient usage of technology for simplification of processes, with 99.7% of the individual proposals being submitted digitally. 57% of the individual policies are processed through automated underwriting. In conclusion, by embedding resilience and continuous improvement at the core of our culture, and by strategically strengthening our key channels, we are well positioned for sustained growth. Our unwavering commitment to delivering exceptional customer service not only deepens client relationships but also enforces our reputation as a trusted and leading force in the market. Thank you all, and now we are happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. A couple of questions. The first one, if I see, you know, persistency has done well across the cohort barring 61st month where it has seen a drop, likely it would be coming out of some ULIP during the COVID time the policy sold, and possibly that is the explanation. But on that context, in that context, I wanted to know, is that operating assumption changes that are kind of a negative in the VNB walk, are they kind of a leading to some bit of a reset in persistency assumptions, or there are other factors to behind this marginal operating assumption changes? So that's one. Second, again, if I look back how kind of a you have delivered over the last 10 years and you have presented in a slide, I mean, in terms of your APE market share or individual APE market share or embedded compounding. But if we, again, we were to look back those 10 years and break it into 5 and 5, possibly the first 5, of course, coming from a lower base, had a very, very strong growth on all parameters, including the kind of a margin expansion and all. Now, if we look back, now when the margin is more or less stable, but expansion part is difficult, and of course the base of growth and everything is coming into picture, the growth is also going to be measured. In this backdrop, if I kind of I were to ask, I mean, what would be your aspiration over the next 5 years? Again, I'm not coming up to quarterly volatility, but if I'm saying that, okay, what would be the number in terms of your retail APE growth or kind of where the VNB or margins will compound for the next 5 years, what would you have to say? Okay, thanks.
On the first question to persistency, you are right that there is a persistency drop on account of the early business done in the COVID period, so we know that. As far as assumption is concerned, as we always say that we keep this exceptional item separately and look into the long-term view. So we always keep mentioning that year end we keep refine our assumption looking to reflect the current experience. So there are some changes in the mortality, some on the persistency. We also seen some improvement coming on account of the long-term protection improvement on the persistency. So that's just reflect in the VNB assumption. But in this 50 basis point is not a significant point. So not no I will say that there is no significant change in assumption. It's a combination of all minor refinement across all the assumptions, including demographic as well as expenses and other part.
Coming to growth prospects, you are aware that the company 3-year CAGR is at 12.9%, and last financial year we have grown by 13.2%. Going forward also, we intend to maintain the growth rate at around 14%, which has been our CAGR for last 3 to 5 years, and we will continue to maintain this kind of growth rate in coming year also.
Okay. Then lastly, if I can ask one more, I mean, with this PAR, of course, in your mix, it is still a smaller portion, but typically you have been more like a ULIP protection and guaranteed non-PAR. What is, I mean, your kind of your own intent, or what is the demand factor that is kind of bringing this a strong growth in PAR?
The PAR product portfolio growth of this year has come on a lower base of the last year. Last year we had just a couple of products. This year we launched new products in the PAR category, and we got very good customer response in this category. That has resulted in a very robust growth in the PAR segment in the current year. We have been a company which had dominant sales of ULIPs in the past, but as you are aware, you have been attending these analyst meet for last couple of years. Our focus has been to improve the product mix in favor of non-ULIP products also. And if you look at the product launches in last couple of years, we have very good product launches in all three, non-PAR segment, PAR segment, and also in the protection segment. So this is our effort to improve the profitability of the company also by having a healthy product mix. And we are happy that our strategy and our product launches are helping achieve this objective.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Supratim Datta from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for the opportunity. So, can you hear me?
Can you please be louder?
Yeah, is this better?
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks a lot for the opportunity. My first question is on, you know, what are you seeing with respect to customer behavior over the last 2 months, given, you know, you have been typically a ULIP heavy company, and last 2 months we have seen pretty significant volatility in the equity markets. Just wanted to understand how are customers reacting to that volatility, and, you know, how is that shaping ULIP demand, and how in this environment, hence, looking into FY27, how are you thinking about the product mix and product strategy, given, you know, you have a growth aspiration of 14%, like you highlighted? So that's the first question. Second, you know, again, you know, like you rightly pointed out at the start, that, you know, you have been looking at changing the product mix for the last 2 years in favor of non-PAR products. Just wanted to understand, what is the share of protection now within SBI Bank versus 2 years back? And what proportion of these policies, you know, overall in the SBI channel are being sourced through YONO? If you could give us some color there, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
So talking about the customer behavior in last couple of months, there you are aware the geopolitical events that are taking place. And that definitely is having some impact on the market, on the performance of the equity market also, and there are effects seen on the fixed income side also. But at the same time, if you look at the equity market, there are robust inflows into the mutual funds also, and overall, people, wherever they are seeing value, they are investing. That is what we have seen in the company. Our growth in February and March has been decent enough, and we have been able to meet our guidance for the year despite these events. So going forward also, we expect to continue to have a good sales growth in the coming quarter and coming year as well, depending of course upon month-to-month variation, and we do not pay much attention to month-to-month, and we like to keep our focus on our yearly goals and mid-term goals. So that is regarding your first question.
SBI, our share is 4%. 4% of share for pure protection. Credit life is over and above that. And broadly, that number has been flat. But the mix has changed favorably from TROP towards higher proportion of pure protection. So the premium numbers are not seen as a proportion. Obviously, absolute numbers have grown, but share has remained broadly constant. But sum assured, we have seen significantly higher growth in the SBI.
Number of policies also.
Number of policies and sum assured also, basically, because pure protection will have significantly higher sum assureds.
Understood. And, you know, if I could, you know, ask one last question. So on the ULIP side, you know, are you selling the higher sum assured ULIPs as well, you know, the 20-30x sum assured product, or is it the, you know, you're selling only the plain vanilla 10x cover products? You know, if you could give us some clarity there.
No, as of now, we do not have higher sum assured ULIPs.
Okay, but do you plan to launch that?
We will look at the opportunity and decide in due course.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shreya Shivani from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I had two questions. First is on the banca channel sales in the last quarter, in the fourth quarter. It's actually degrown YOY. Is it to do with the fact that March was a slower month for us? Was it coming from that, or was there any other reason? Second question is, there was a media interview by the Department of Financial Services Secretary where he's yet again raised the topic of banks should be open architecture, etc., etc. Do we have, is there anything you can share with us? Because obviously it's a big part of our distribution mix, and also what is our strategy on the distribution channel in case such a decision is finally taken by or mandated by the government?
First, talking about the Q4, there you would have noticed that the entire insurance sector had a sluggish kind of Q4, and that may be related to various events taking place geopolitically across the globe. And our growth in Q4, as I already said, that instead of looking month-to-month and quarter-to-quarter growth, we like to focus on the annual numbers, and we are happy that we have been able to meet more or less our annual guidance of 13%. We have maintained our 3-year CAGR slightly higher than that, in fact. And banca channel also has been able to meet our internal budget of set for the year. Regarding your other query, I would like to emphasize that SBI Life is now a 25-year-old company, and in this long journey we have established various very robust system and procedure, and we have seen various regulatory changes coming at different point of times. You will appreciate that the company has been able to navigate all these regulatory changes with ease, and we have been growing at a consistent rate. We are not aware about this particular topic as of now, but we are very sure that any regulatory changes, we will be able to meet with a robust response.
Right. And sir, any strategy on other channels? I know you've added a lot of agents and new branches, but on the other line item, what are the channels we would incrementally be focused on, irrespective of what happens with the banca channel?
So agency channel, for the last 2 years, we have been strengthening a lot, and in fact, the contribution of agency channel in our distribution mix has improved in last couple of years. In addition to the agency channel, where we are opening more number of branches, adding more agents, having better productivity, we are also focusing upon our emerging business channel. Although as of now, it is a small channel, but the growth rate and the investment being made in this particular channel are giving us good result. We will continue to invest in our direct channel, on our website, and direct channel sales. And we are sure that this is also going to be a good, formidable force in coming future.
Got it. This is useful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A few questions. Firstly, just extending the previous question, has there been any communication from RBI in any form about open architecture or in form of offering more products at the bancassurance channel? Because the interview kind of stated that there has been some communication or request gone to the banks to adopt open architecture. Second is, if I look at your cost ratio, right, from FY 2024, your OpEx was at 4.9, has gone up to 6.1, total was 8.9, has gone up to 10.6. And within that, main thing, I think the product mix shifts possibly to a certain extent, but also you've opened more branches and, the agency channel has seen a very stronger growth. So, how do you see the cost ratios moving from here on, whether there is any, do you think that you'll be capped at 10.6, or this ratio will kind of keep moving higher? And thirdly, while you talk about a 14% kind of APE growth, what would be your thoughts on margins going ahead with respect VNB margins going ahead? And those would be my three questions. Thanks.
So draft guidelines, in fact, are in public domain for last couple of months, and they are supposed to come in force from 1st of July. It does not talk of open architecture, and we do not have any additional information other than what is in the public domain. As far as cost ratio is concerned, the impact on cost in this particular year, last financial year, is substantially coming from the GST impact, as I already talked in my opening remarks. The other factors regarding opening more number of branches, having higher IT spends for customer ease and the other processes, and spends on training our agency force and our CIFs, etc. Those are the reasons which have resulted in slightly higher cost ratios. But going forward, I think these things have already panned out. And other than strengthening IT, there is no other major expense planned in the near future.
Sir, my just that extending that question, GST is now kind of a GST is not one time, right? GST is going to be there for some time. I mean, it's a permanent thing, right? Unless we kind of really do some cost savings, which will bring down our costs, right? So from that perspective, how do you see the cost ratio? And my last question was on VNB margin trajectory going ahead.
So that is what I said, that now the GST is already in this cost of 10.8%. So that has already been built in. We do not see costs going higher on account of this particular thing. Pritesh, would you like to talk about the margin?
So I think the margin also, if you see, we have reflected the 27.5 5 margin level difference, already accounted for all the impact of GST. And last time also we mentioned that we working to enhance the product mix and profile mix, and we are very sure that profile enhancement in the profile mix will able to absorb this impact of GST. So even you see the VNB walk, closely we have offset. So the better product mix and some benefit coming from the interest movement has able to offset this impact of GST. So that's the reason 27.5 we are reflecting into. As MD sir also mentioned that we expenses are reflected, and we are looking to better product mix from current level with the growth of 14%. So we expect that our margin will be continued to be similar range that we maintain about 26%-28% range that we're saying. And our endeavor is to report the margin above 27% kind of things.
You will appreciate that despite the GST impact and other one-time impacts, we have been able to report VNB margin at the higher end of the range of 26%-28% that we had set at the start of the financial year. So we stuck to our range, and we will continue to maintain that kind of margin in coming years also.
Absolutely commendable, sir, there. But, you know, with all the costs, with all the one-time impacts in the margins in this year, and now we moving more favorably to wanting to move our product mix more favorably, should we shift our guidance to 27%-29% versus 26%-28%?
So I think we said 27%-28%, and we will stick to that.
Got that. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Congratulations on good numbers in a sort of difficult operating environment. So first question, in the EV walk, we see a very strong positive operating variance. If you can quantify how much is expenses, persistency and mortality? And if we have such a strong positive variance, then why are we strengthening our assumptions, you know, in the VNB? So I wanted to get a better sense of why are we seeing this divergence in EV and then in VNB. And second, so our solvency is now at about 190%. We work at a 180% solvency. So in terms of capital, what are your thoughts, you know, any additional need, and how will you sort of bridge that gap if required? Yeah, those would be my two questions. Thanks.
So first on your question on the EV work, that we always mention that as a company, we, when you set our assumption, we always have the longer term view, and we ensure that it is sustainable in longer term. And that's always give us the very priority variance. And if you see year-on-year, we keep reporting the priority variance by way of quality of businesses. And this is not coming because we have using different conservative or prudent assumption. This is because our quality of business is reflecting much better than what we're looking to. So if I say most of the priority variance coming on account of the mortality, profit and persistency, and lesser on the expenses. So that's continuous coming from. If I link with the VNB strengthening, 0.2% is not a significant strengthening happen. And you appreciate that the products that we are currently looking in, you know, selling in the new business and what has been reflected in our existing book, both are significantly slightly different. So it's not exactly same. So it may not be fair to correlate the assumption change in the VNB with that of operating variance in EV. Generally reflective, so there are maybe one or two product line which we have tried to increase or promote. Their minor refinement we did in the assumption for VNB, and that's also I will say it is very emerging trends, and as a company we always look into and adopt this assumption. So that's you see the view on the NAV.
As far as solvency is concerned, you see the company is generating good cash accruals and strengthening its capital base through internal accruals only. We have not raised any fresh capital for strengthening our margin, and this is efficient use of capital that is resulting in solvency of 1.90 against the regulatory requirement of 1.50. Going forward, we are assessing the impact of the Ind AS and RBC also that is being discussed at the regulator level, regulatory level for introduction in near future. So we are keeping a very sharp eye and we will take appropriate calls at appropriate time.
Just one final follow-up. Can you split the economic variance between your debt and equity?
So see, our economic variance is more or less the sensitivity that we spend EV. So majorly you see the equity fall, and so major share coming from the equity and other part is coming from the bond. So if you total 3.66, if you say around 2.15% coming from the equity and balance it from the bond.
Understood, understood. Got it. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sanket Koda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you said that our growth most likely will be in the range of 14% for next few years. But if I look at your banca growth, maybe for last 3 years, it has been stuck in that range of 9 to 11%. So just wanted to understand, if the 14% growth has to be delivered, then there should be heavy lifting of the growth from the other channels, either agency or other relationships. So just wanted to understand, if you want to give a color of the 11% trend to continue in banca, and it will be largely driven by the other channels in a way to drive the growth. That's my first question, sir.
As already being guided for last 2 years, we have been telling that we are strengthening our agency channel by opening more number of branches, by having more agents, by improving agency agents' productivity, etc. So the clear focus is on further strengthening the agency channel and tapping all the opportunities that are available in this particular channel. We already have a robust share of agency business in the industry, and we want to further strengthen it. We have also guided that in the distribution mix also, we would like to have a greater share of agency channel, and that is already taking place if you look at the distribution mix in last couple of years. So this 14% will be an optimum mix of the agency growth and the banca growth.
So then is it fair to say that the banca growth in that range of 10 to 11 is a realistic number going ahead for us?
I mean, do not divulge the different channels' growth targets as such, but this is the kind of base that we have been growing in despite all the circumstances and all, and you can say that...
So the reason I'm asking...
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The reason I'm asking this question is that if I assume the nominal GDP growth or inflation-led growth with the natural increase in the ticket size, that will be in the range of 8 to 10%. So which means that a penetration in the banca channel largely being achieved, the growth in banca will be predominantly driven by the ticket size increase. That's the reason I was asking that more realistic growth, penetration being largely achieved, it's more ticket size led growth, like 8 to 10% or 10 to 11% kind of a number.
No, our focus is also on the protection side. So I will not say that the growth is coming only from the ticket size increase. If you look at the number of policies also, the protection segment is growing where the ticket size is very small, and there also we are getting substantial number of policies that has resulted in good protection growth also. So we do not look at from quarter to quarter and month to month number, but we set our annual targets and medium term targets and go around doing business on those lines.
And Sanket, the endeavor remains to further strengthen the penetration of customer base of bank. We are not saying we have saturated the customer base of bank.
The opportunities are, opportunities are there, and we are tapping all the available opportunities in the best possible manner.
Understood, sir. And my second question is again on the margin. Sir, at the start of the year, you guided 26 to 28, but at the start of the year, you did not have a GST impact. But if I negate the GST impact, you actually ended up reporting 29 instead of 27.5. So which means you under guided probably on the margin. So just wanted to understand this 27 to 28, what you are trying to guide now. Has an upside either because of the product mix or cost levers to play out in the next year?
So this is a matter of perception. You can say under-guided or you can say over-delivered. This is a matter of perception only.
See, okay, so the realistic margins maybe better than 28 is what I wanted to check rather than being a little conservative in that sense. Yeah.
It's not about the conservativeness. So you see the only reason to deliver this margin despite the GST impact is as a company we are working on to improve the product mix. Correct. That's the reason we are able to almost absorb the heat on the margin. Why we're giving the higher ranges is, as you said, that with the higher base, we are trying to grow with the 14%, and at the same time, we are also trying to achieve the better product mix. So making a combination that a product mix which give a better margin and hence better value, as well as maintain that 14% growth with such a higher value, is not a very easier task, and that's the range. What we give, it gives us some flexibility to play around to maintain the good growth rate as well as maintain the margin. That's the reason we are trying to do that. So it's not about that we are giving a prudent or conservative guidance on the part.
So both growth and profitability, we keep a very sharp eye and we adjust accordingly.
Understood, sir. And lastly, sir, two things. One is in protection, can you give your premium mix or AP mix, individual protection, I need to say, broken down into pure term and RWRP? And whether RWRP as a product has seen a natural lower demand because of the GST benefit which is available in pure term compared to RWRP? That's one thing. And second, last time in the call, you said that you were working on regular pay deferred annuity plan. If you can give a bit of guidance or a color of how far you have come with the product, whether you are okay to launch that particular product in the current year or not.
So our endeavor is to launch this deferred annuity product in this quarter itself. So we are aiming to go to by June we should launch the deferred annuity. Otherwise we'll go to the next quarter.
Understood, sir. And on the protection side, sir?
Protection size, the number will give offline to you.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shobhit Sharma from HDFC Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. So my first question is on your agency channel. That channel has consistently grown year on year for last 2-3 years and have provided stability to your overall growth. So what gives you the confidence? I understand you mentioned about the new agent additions and the new opening of the branches. So can you give us some color around these agents who have been recruited? Are these from the industry or are these new to the insurance business? And secondly, if you can give us some qualitative comments about the branches which has been opened in the last 2-3 years, what's the business contributed by them? Or if you can give us some color around the contribution of these newly hired agents over the last 2-3 years.
Agents are new to the insurance industry. There is no open architecture on the agency side. So we have very robust system of hiring and training agents, and we are happy that the agent increase is also being equally met with the agent productivity. So the good growth number is coming both from the side of increased number of agents as well as increased productivity. So as I already said that we want to tap the opportunities available on the agency side. We are happy that today we have one of the strongest agency force in the market, in the private industry, and the largest player also. A substantial portion of the industry mobilization is coming through SBI Life. We'll continue to focus on this particular channel and our training methods to our agents to further tap the opportunities that are available here.
So any number around the business contribution from the branches which you opened in the last 2-3 years, or the contribution of agents whose vintage is less than 3 years?
We do not disclose those kind of numbers, and you will appreciate that, of course, any branch which is newly opened, it takes some time to break even, but these branches are well on track. We are satisfied with the contribution that is coming through these branches.
Okay, sir. The second question is on your NOP count. So last 3 years, we have not seen the NOP count growing on the individual business side. We had seen very strong growth in Q3 on the NOP side, but in Q4, again, it has turned negative. So when can we expect our growth to be led by NOP instead of the growth in the ticket sizes? And last question is on the GST impact. So I believe that the GST impact which we have seen during this year was actually permanent in nature, and we would have made changes in our actual assumptions. So how should we think about the impact from next year onwards? Should we see a similar kind of impact of 1.5% on our overall margins, or it would be on a higher side, because this year we had an impact for only the second half primarily?
So see, GST impact has already accounted for in the margin, the 27.5 is reflected. Only, and this is for the business done after 22nd September. So maybe next another half year we'll see some impact. But I think this will be more or less similar level for the 6 months. Overall, and that we have adjusted, and we are working to do the product mix profile so that offset that. So that's the reason we are saying with the GST impact considering into reflecting our costs and all, we are able to deliver the margin that we have just given the guidance of 26 to 28% range. So there will no adverse impact going to be reflecting on account of GST. So that's the part. And actual assumption GST basically in absence of the input cost, we are absorbing the commission, GST payable and commission to our agents and distributor. So that's already reflected in that.
Okay, sir. And on the NOP side?
I think NOP, we are giving these things, and we are hoping that once we come with the deferred NOP product, that also will help us to increase some of the NOP, because you appreciate the single PM NOT, most of the high ticket size, but when you come to the deferred regular pay NOT, I think ticket size will be much lower than single premium, and the more earning people will buy these things. So we expect that will help us not only to grow the NOT business, but also increase the number of NOTs that will buy the policy from us.
So you mean to say NOP for growth next year would be driven by the annuity product which will be launching in this quarter or the next quarter?
No, we are not saying that. We are saying that will help us to increase the overall annuity business. Not especially that only will do that. I think we have the complete suite of the NOT. We have the deferred annuity in single premium. We have the deferred, we have the immediate annuity. And we have the NPS NOT, and within the NOT we offer certain options. Now we are lagging only on the regular pay deferred NOT. So by launching the NOT, we'll have a complete suite of NOT product available to the customer, and we expect that complete suite will help us to grow this line of business.
I think okay. The confusion is he is talking about NOP, not only NOT. So NOP. Overall NOP will also increase through other products, and protection products will especially help in increasing the number of NOP.
Okay, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. So my first question on the VNB mix. Now, I know that you don't give the margins across channels, and every channel has a different product mix. But let's say if you were to take FY 2026 for the last 2 years and assume a similar product mix, channel mix, cost structure, what would be the VNB contribution across some of these channels? Or out some qualitative color in terms of divergence between APE mix and VNB mix across channels, at least qualitatively. The second question is on the credit protect business. For FY 2026, the growth seems to be a little bit on the softer side. So going into next year, I just wanted to get some color on what are the attachment rates at SBI, or what are the efforts that you're really undertaking to grow this business, because it's a relatively high margin business, I would assume. And finally, the third question is on the operating releases. Now, if I look at the last 10 years, ex of COVID, I mean, in almost all the years, you would have delivered a positive release. So just in terms of the assumptions that you have built in the back book, transition to IFRS, and I understand you are taking the forbearance, but does this sort of, you know, robust risk management or prudent underwriting that you have done give you any sort of benefit relative to any other company should have probably taken a differentiated strategy on these assumptions? And one question on the data keeping question. If you can break the operating variance into mortality, persistency, and expense and others.
So I will start with the last question. I think, let I explain that most of the operating variance is coming on account of the mortality and persistency, and lesser is coming on the expenses. So this is the things. Second, on your question to the channel-wide margin, I think we don't disclose that, and we don't look into the specific, the product. We don't drive the, particularly the product mix with the particular channel. We offer the product to all the channel. We pay the similar commission to the different channel, and they do that. And that's the reason we don't disclose this, and even don't look into those on the margin perspective of the which channel we're driving this. Because we look into the longer term and company level margin creation on that. Third question, if I remember correctly, your actuarial assumptions and party variance. I think this, that I mentioned earlier, the most of the operating party variance over the years, including the COVID periods, reflect the two set of things. One is the quality of business the company is writing, and the underwriting is one of the part. So if you write a better quality of business, you expect the experience will be much better. Secondly, also look into the how you see your sustainability in the longer term. So when you set the assumption, we take a longer term view, and each and every time we see that whenever we see the credible experience emerging and just mandate to review our assumption and modify, we keep that. So even the last year, we have capitalized quite a few, particularly by the persistency side, we capitalized some of the assumption, and that's the reason this year, the persistency variance is slightly lower to that. And we will continue to do that. Our view is to report the numbers, and view is to not only the pricing and reporting as well, keep a longer-term sustainable view on that perspective. So this is third question. I don't want to comment how this will play out in IFRS 17 to us and how with the other in the market. We normally avoid comparing our performance versus others. But definitely, if company is having the longer-term sustainable assumptions, that will have the better place, and that will also reflect in IFRS regime as well.
And on the banca credit life, we think 14% is reasonable growth. It's faster than the bank's loan growth. We have increased our attachment in home loans by a substantial amount.
Got it. Just for a small follow-up, if I heard correctly, you mentioned that your persistency variance this year is little lower than last year. And I think last year you were around 2.5 to 3 billion. That basically means that for this year you almost had like 8-9 billion of positive mortality variance. I mean, is that a right understanding?
No, I'm not saying that. What I try to tell you that each and every time whenever we see the credible experience and continuous quality variance coming into, that will revise and do that. And when you revise, you will get certain gap and that perspective. Nothing else.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the queue, you are requested to please restrict yourselves to one question only. You may rejoin the queue if you have any further questions. Our next question comes from the line of Neeraj Toshniwal from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a follow-up on the credit life. This quarter, we see a big impact on the group credit. It's largely coming from GPI. Is the right understanding? Or how is the credit life trending quarter on quarter and why this quarter?
No, this quarter, the GTI business has come as compared to the credit life. So that is the reason the quarter four growth in the group credit group business has actually gone up.
Okay, and do we have numbers on how much is credit life and how much is group?
No, quarterly I don't have number. We will give you separately.
Okay, and on the target mix, I think we have been mentioning that we will be likely around 60-40 non-dealers. I think we have already kind of achieved that. So the mix will largely remain stable in terms of dealer and non-dealer will toggle around between non-par and par. Is the fair understanding, or we can further see ULIP going to 55?
No, we are driving, as already in the initial remarks, MD has commented that we are driving for a right product mix in the longer run perspective. So today we are at 66-34. So depending upon the market, depending on the customer's choice, we are offering the products across geographies. So we will continue to drive the better productivity or a balanced product mix rather, going forward. So we will see how the experience will evolve. But yes, we are looking into the better product mix going forward.
Okay, I was coming from EP perspective. I think it's already 59 and it's coming from non-dealer.
Yeah, IRP basis, it is 66.
Yeah, I spoke about individual AP basis. So yeah, we are talking about AP.
Okay. So that is 66.34.
Yeah.
And on non-par savings, are you taking or not taking any increase in IR to kind of like others have been recouping some of the GST impact? What is our strategy here? Because growth, while everybody has seen a decline, our decline has been a little moderate compared to peers. Any commentary here or strategy going forward?
So I think non-par, if I answer correctly your question on the non-par IRR perspective, so I think we continue to look into the interest rate movement and reprice the product. I think currently, if you see there are a lot of volatility in the yield curve, and this yield is not sustainable, that's the reason of holding up. But in the meantime, we have launched a new non-par products that replace our existing non-par product, and that reflects the current yield. So to some extent, we have passed on this some benefit to the customer by launching this new product. But we'll continue monitoring and regular monitoring. I keep saying that as a company, we'll keep doing this, adopting a dynamic approach in as per non-interest sensitive product is concerned. And this is whenever we see this is a sustainable thing, we'll reprice and pass on to the benefit to the customers. So we try to balance between those.
So, thank you, Nathishan, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidhesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. The question is on VNB margin. So if you look at the full year VNB margin, there is a 150 basis point impact of GSP. So that is for half year. So does it mean that for the full year, the impact would be around 300 basis point and our starting margin, let's say, on a like-to-like basis is 26% if the GST would have been implemented for the full year, which means that we have to show VNB margin expansion from 26% in FY27. So that is the first question.
No, it's not the case. So if you see the business retained post-September is much higher than the H1. Secondly, that is mentioned in this when you declare the result on September half-yearly result. We have already incorporated the GST impact in terms of the commissions and the renewal commission for the business retained prior to the 22nd September as well. So if I summarize, I say that all the business retained after 22nd September, the GST impact and commission reflected for both, I mean, first year commission as renewal. And for the business retained prior to 22nd September, the GST impact on commission and renewal has been. Thirdly, we have incorporated the expenses, actual expenses, including GST, when you report these things. So most of the part of the impact of GST in terms of renewal commission, full commission, new business, and expense have included. Only the left with the first half, first year commission for the business retained till 22nd. So it will not be, and if I remember correctly, we quantified this number. We're expecting the annual impact maybe around 1.8, 1.9 kind of things, if GST would have been implemented from the beginning itself.
Sure. Sure. And second, sir, as we move towards the non-banker channel over the next 2 to 3 years, or the share of non-banker channel increases in our overall mix, on a ceteris paribus basis, will that have a negative impact on margins? Because we believe that banker would be a slightly higher margin channel versus non-banker. So will that have, if we don't do anything on the product mix side, will that have a negative impact on our overall margins?
No, I don't think, and we don't think there will be any negative impact for them. In fact, any channel addition will bring value to table by way of our fixed expense will get amortized and quality will happen. I think that will going to add the value to the company, and there would not be any negative impact on the margin.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal Mehta from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Two quick questions from mine. So firstly, as you know, like, so we are in the earlier days in terms of IFRS.
Please be louder.
Hello. Is it better now?
Can you be a bit louder, please?
Hello. Is it better now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my first question was that, like, we know that we are in the initial days of IFRS. But if you can give some initial thoughts on, you know, how the KPIs will be for SBI under the IFRS. So that was one. And secondly, like, our strategy has been to focus on additional products. And within that, we have seen PAR growing significantly higher than non-PAR. But given the backdrop that we have recently launched a non-PAR product in Jan, how do you expect non-PAR as a category to move from here on?
See, as far as the IFRS is concerned, we are prepared. And as you know, we have submitted the pro forma to the regulator for the last two financial years. And as already mentioned in the initial remarks, we are going to have a forbearance for this fiscal. And next year onwards, we will be prepared to launch into the IFRS regime. And we don't see anything as of now to bring in on a KPI into the company's performance or to disclose at any point of time during this financial year. So we will see first how it will evolve in the, over the next 2 to 3 years' time, and then to bring in, because it has got implications into the business, because we cannot just bring the KPIs to the business, which will be definitely look into different aspects as far as IFRS is concerned. Second part, you asked about product.
I think if I'm correctly, how we're going to see PAR product is still your contribution is around 7%, not much on this perspective. And non-PAR, we have launched even different. So we do believe that the new launch in non-PAR, we see a lot of attraction on that. That will also bring the movement in the non-PAR. And again, if interest rate is going to be established at current level, we will reprice and be better return. So that also help us to improve the growth of the non-PAR business as such.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Samant Singh from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Hope you can hear me. Am I audible?
Wait.
So you are audible.
Yeah, okay. Just the two data keeping questions. One was on online channel growth. That was very strong until 9 months. So like 45% YOY basis. Anything on the discrete Q4 number or the full year number, that will be helpful. And the second is on attachment rate on the credit life portion. So what is the attachment rate on home loans? So if you can just give two data points. Thank you.
So as far as our online business, which is purely on our own website, it is almost in the similar range of 48 to 50% growth, which we have done for the full financial year. And that we will be continue to focus more on this channel on our own. And as far as the attachment ratio of credit life, I think it is going in the similar what we have been doing it for the previous years, around 50% of.
Okay, thanks for these together. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav from MLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, the question was with regards to the cost ratio. So if I look at the operating expense ratio, it has moved up from 5.3 to 6.1 in FY26 versus last year. And you explained that this is due to GST, the impact of GST embedded in the cost now. So is it only from September to March? You know, the cost impact that we are looking at here. So let's say for FY27, given that the entire year will have GST impact, so hypothetically, I mean, is this 6.1 only reflective of 6 months of GST, or this includes the full year impact of GST?
No, this is obviously the second half of this year, half year of this fiscal impact of the GST. Next year will be full year. The other one-off item, I think you must have heard in the last call, that it is
the
one-off item, which is the labor code. So that has also this is impacting this increase in the operating expenses. But we are confident that it will not go under our radar. Rather, in the way we are managing the expenses of the company, it will continue to be in that range.
Sure. So, sir, if you can just quantify the deviation from 5.3 to 6.1 that we see, how much of that is attributable to GST and how much of that is attributable to new labor code? If you can just quantify that.
I can just tell you that if the labor code or the GST would not have been there, then the OPEX ratio would have been around 5.5 against 5.3.
Okay. Understood, sir. Got it. So, safe to say that next year it may go up slightly, given that this only has 6 months of GST, but it won't go materially up from here. Is that the right thing to read it?
It not necessarily, because you know the OPEX is not only one of item of the GST which will impact. There are other measures which we take, so that will also help to rationalize the cost. And then we also look into the economics of the expenses, where we want to do, whether we want to do or not. But yes, as far as the growth is concerned, we are very focused that we will spend our money on the investments, particularly on the branches, IT infrastructure, that will continue. But it will not have much impact as far as the OPEX is concerned for the company.
Understood. Perfect. And sir, the next question is on the channel mix. While this year we saw other channels contribution share improving, for next year also, do you expect the other channel contribution share to improve? And let's say from a 2 to 3 year perspective, what would be the, SBI contribution or any target sort of you are maintaining to reduce the contribution from SBI going forward?
So we are not targeting any reduction from SBI. What we are targeting is tapping additional opportunity on the agency and the emerging business channel. And in line with that, the higher growth coming from these two segments will improve their contribution in the overall distribution mix. We are not targeting any reduction from SBI.
Understood. So with the effect of diversification, where would you see the overall mix, let's say ex-banker and within banker maybe ex-SBI, what would be, let's say, target share of these other segments that you would want to keep?
So in last 2 years, we have seen approximately 3 to 4% shift from banker to agency. Agency and emerging businesses and all, and we expect the similar trend in coming years.
Understood. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Jhingran for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for your time and queries. You may get in touch with our investor relation team in case you have any follow-up questions, and we will be happy to respond to that. Thanks again. God bless everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of SBI Life Insurance Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.